You're listening to Braves Country. We're here live weekdays, 3 p.m. Eastern to 5 p.m. Eastern, WQEE 99.1 FM, The Key, and simulcasting on youtube.com/@Braves Country. Your first choice for Southern sports. Good afternoon. I'm Mike McGinn. I don't know much, but I know one thing. It's St. Patty's Day, baby. Are you ready to rock and roll, Bobby?
I am. Yes, sir. And we got a lot of sports. We got March Madness, obviously. We have NFL free agency starting to wind down.
Community Access Channel.
He's the armchair quarterback. He's full of beer and he's full of snacks. He's the All-American man.
Hey, howdy, hi, and how the hell are you? You're just joining us. We just did some Braves Country baseball. Atlanta Braves take out the Boston Red Sox 8-0. Good game by the Braves all in all. Matt Olson's been absolutely just killing it at this point. And I mentioned during the broadcast, he has the highest OPS in Major League Baseball of anyone in the spring with that many at-bats. Now, there is one caveat to that. A lot of your more talented players are playing in the World Baseball Classic, so they don't have as many at-bats, but he's absolutely smoking it right now. His OPS plus before the second home run is 1,517, I think is the number that I saw. And that was before he hit that second home run blast. So it's got to be up in the 16-17 range. Bobby, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing good. I'm looking forward to the rest of March Madness. I'm looking forward to some more NFL free agent signings. It's pretty big time in sports right now.
Trying to have a hard time with my hat right here, Susan. All right, here we go. Thought about wearing this hat out tonight. I'm meeting some friends to watch the March Madness. I don't think I can wear this goofy thing. If you're not watching on our YouTube channel, Braves Country HD, it's one of those super huge leprechaun type hats, and it's lightweight, but it's goofy, and I just got to fit. If I was your age going out, I'd have this thing strapped to my head and let's go.
But well, hopefully nobody's going to be sitting behind you.
What's that?
Hopefully nobody's going to be sitting behind you.
Yeah, exactly. Well, yeah, that's another thing. Yeah. Well, yeah, I didn't think about that. Someone take a poke at it and to try to deflate it. And real quick, we'll get everyone caught up on the score. I'm gonna share the score on the screen so I don't have to mention it every 2 seconds. But you've got St. Mary's up by 9, 8 minutes left. NC State and Creighton are about to start. Marquette's up by 9 at the half. Pitt all over Iowa State by 11. I did not see that coming. I thought Iowa State would play a better game, but still very, very early. So we'll see how that plays out, how that pans out. Go ahead and take this off the screen as well. So let me ask you, what's your biggest takeaway so far from March Madness?
My biggest takeaway, let's see. Well, we've already seen a 2 go down. I don't think we'll see any major upsets, like a 2 or a 1 seed going down for the rest of the tournament or for the rest of the first round.
We 3 go down. I mean, Kennesaw State should have had that. We almost saw 3 go down.
Yeah, we almost saw a 3. I don't think we'll get another 1.
Into the whole thing because I was doing the baseball game. I could see in the corner of my eye. But they dominated that game till about 6 minutes left, and then they lost the lead. And then at that point, they were just anyways, it fell apart at the end, but they had a chance there right at the end. Oh, man, I thought Kansas State was going to keep singing those praises. I want to see them go as far as they can because, first of all, I've been hitting their bets. I've been going money line, but I'm hitting their bets, and I just know that if they would have continued to go, they would have continued to be underrated on the point line. But anyways. You don't think we'll see another big upset? Because I think we might.
I don't know. I mean, Vermont's only down 9 to Marquette right now. So if they get hot, it's possible. They're at halftime right now. But other than that, man, I don't know. I don't think there's a lot of opportunity for a 2 or 1 seed to win. Or 2 or 1 seed to lose, sorry.
Well, I mean, a 3 seed. Look, I'll tell you what. Watch out for Montana State tonight. Montana State plays the type of game that's going to give Kansas State fits. In fact, fact, I took Montana State in the points. Now, I got it at 9.5. I see now that it's at 7.5. So, obviously, the public is starting to catch on to what's going on there. Mm-hmm. Another big upset would be a 4-13, wouldn't you think?
I would, too. Another one that I'm looking at that I actually think is going to happen, I have a 12-5. It's not a huge upset, but I got Drake beating Miami. They're only 2.5-point underdogs, which is a pretty slim difference.
I kind of figure it almost feels like with the injuries to Miami and the way they've played down the stretch, it feels like it ought to be a pick 'em. So, I mean, I'm with you. The other one that I would keep an eye on tonight, what's the line on that? See, that's only 4.5. It is a 4-13, but that's a 4. Mm. Indiana versus Kent State. Kent State is a dangerous, dangerous out.
Mm.
Now, I don't feel comfortable enough with that line. If I was going to take Kent State, I would probably tease it and get the line up a little bit. But, man, Kent State is a dangerous team. And the one that just shocks me to no end is that Florida Atlantic is an underdog tonight. And I know it's 9-8, but they're an underdog. And Florida Atlantic is 31-3 on the year.
Yeah, it's a close line. They're only a 1-point underdog, but yeah, with a 31-3 record, you'd think they'd be a favorite in round one.
Who do you have as your final four?
So I got, well, I have, I'm trying to think of the bracket off the top of my head. I know I had Bama and Houston. I think I had those two matched up in the championship, if I'm not mistaken. Let's see. I think I had Kansas. I had them going to the final four. And I can't think of the other one off the top of my head, but I know those three are in it.
Did you have Arizona?
I didn't have Arizona. I actually had them going out in the round of 32. So there we go. I missed on them winning the first round, but, you know, they didn't blow up my bracket too much.
My championship is Duke versus Gonzaga. I've got Gonzaga cutting down the nets. As well as I do with point spreads, I'm usually terrible with the brackets because I use too much logic, so it just doesn't work. The brackets are just something totally different. I honestly feel like Alabama is the best team in the country.
Yeah.
I just can't pick them because of what's been going on there.
I get that. I get the moral aspect, but I'm with you on them being the best team in college basketball right now.
They definitely have the best player.
Mm-hmm. No question.
Don't get me wrong. Edie's really good. And Edie, you could probably make the argument that Edie's the best college player, but he's not going to be anything close to what Brandon Miller is going to be in the NBA. Edie's going to be a slow. We've seen this before. Guys dominate college basketball, yeah. And then the big goofy dude gets to the NBA, and he can't. He's too big. He's too slow. And you
could be a backup center. I could see that working out for him, like a second round pick.
Job. 7'4". You will have a job for quite some time. If nothing else, they need someone to be on the practice teams to go up against the starters. So yeah, he'll have a job.
Mm-hmm.
Assuming he's healthy, I'd say he can probably make a 10-year career in the NBA. So he's not worried about that, but he's not going to be. Some idiot will draft him high, and it'll just be a bust because he just reminds me of so many. Not even Greg Oden, because Greg Oden actually had talent. He just couldn't stay healthy. His knees and
feet. Yeah, he would have been a great player if he stayed healthy. He played for my Trailblazers.
I'm trying to think of that's right. I'm trying to think of someone that Edie reminds me of that just – he's a little bigger, but it just kind of reminds me of when you get – you know who he's not? He's not Yao Ming.
No.
That's who he's not.
No.
Now, maybe if he can set himself up over a few seasons and work on his outside game and be a set shooter – that could probably extend his career, but I give him absolutely no chance to be an everyday starter in the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
Let me get this thing loaded up where people can see it. Got a few games that are going to be starting here in a little bit. What's your favorite game of the day? What is the game that you're locked into?
Well, I have an 11 over 6. I have NC State beating Creighton in my bracket. So that's going to be a game I'm tuned into. Providence, Kentucky, I'll have an eye on. Drake, Miami, I mentioned that a minute ago. I think Drake's going to be upset.
I think that's
which isn't too much of an upset. But
I think that's
one. But those are games I'm going to have an eye on for sure.
I think that's one of the few games I didn't even touch was the Drake game. Because I felt like I was going to take Drake, but I felt – you ever get that feeling you're like, you're just doing that because you hate the Hurricanes, right? That's not a solid reason to make a bet.
Look, I was picking Louisiana Lafayette in my bracket because I don't like Tennessee, so I get what you mean there.
I took them because of the injury, and I hit on the bet they were getting.
Okay.
I was nervous at halftime. I was like, my God, this is going south quickly.
Mm-hmm.
But
well, they kept it. They ended up losing by I think 3, right?
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. So they covered.
It was right in the three or five, something like that. I was really surprised by it because I started watching whatever game was going on against it, and I flipped back over because normally I have a bunch of them going, but at that time of night, man, I'm like, dude, it's time to go to bed, right? Now YouTube TV has started this thing where they've got multi-view, which is really awesome. And it was 4-time multi-view last night. So 4 games last night, right?
Mm-hmm.
Multi-view during the day games, but they had 4 games going at once last night. And so that's what I put on as it was starting to wind down. I forget what game I had it on originally that I was focusing on. Oh, the Northern Kentucky game, because I had that one.
Okay.
And Northern Kentucky game, real damn close.
Mm-hmm.
I really thought the Norse were going to have a chance because I rode Northern Kentucky almost as much as I rode Kennesaw State last 2 months of the year.
Well, that's big. Speaking of Kennesaw State, I had them as my Cinderella, the team this year. I had them going all the way to the Elite Eight, but yeah.
I had a goofy parlay that was going to pay big time. It was them and it was Kennesaw State and Northern Kentucky on the money line.
Oof. Yeah, that would have paid out big.
Yeah, it'd have been real hard for me to pay attention to the spring training baseball game that I was doing if Northern Kentucky would have won last night, because I'd have been like, retirement fund, let's go. Creighton, NC State just began. Creighton leads 5-0. Who do you have in that game?
I had NC State actually. I had them pulling off the upset in my bracket. Granted, not the most educated pick. I'm not an expert here, but not the hottest start either.
I'm not a big NC State guy. I don't care about their fan base. I'm talking about this year. I just think NC State should not have been in the tournament. Clemson should have been in, and a couple other teams should have been over NC State. So I got Creighton. I took Creighton on the money line today.
Okay.
If it's a really low point spread, I tend to just. I know it's not, you're just not supposed to do it, so it's not something I use as a lock, but I will take it on the money line personally. Mm-hmm. All right, let's go ahead and take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk cool games. Boy, there are a lot of them to look at this weekend, and Tones will be joining us. We'll be back in a flash here on Braves Country and Braves Country HD, wherever you stream.
Armchair. You're listening to the Armchair Quarterback Sports Radio, number one sports station.
Good afternoon, and this is your Armchair Quarterbacks Sports Flash. Happy St. Patrick's Day from Braves Country. While we bring you pitch by pitch of your Atlanta Braves, we'll also keep you up to date with all the scores in March Madness. Slate looks like this. They got going this afternoon at 12:15 Eastern. USC versus Michigan State. Georgia's own Kennesaw State is battling Xavier, the 14-3. And at 1:30, it's UC Santa Barbara head-to-head with number 3 Baylor. 5-12 at 2 o'clock, VCU and St. Mary's. 2-15 at 2:45, Vermont and Marquette. Iowa State's in action at 3:10, while the 4 o'clock, number 6, Creighton and 11, NC State. 4:30, Iona and UConn. And at 6:50 tonight, as the number 1 Purdue Boilermakers in action. Providence and Kentucky tip off at 7:10. Miami and the Drake at 7:25. Grand Canyon, a 15.5 point dog to Gonzaga at 7:35. Memphis, and FAU 9:20. While the late games has Kansas State, Indiana, and TCU all hitting the hardwood. Now back to Braves versus Red Sox, St. Patty's Day edition, live on Braves Country Baseball, right here on WQEE 99.1 FM, The Key in Newnan, Georgia, simulcasting on YouTube.com at Braves Country.
It's the best in sports and entertainment, and get locked in and locked down with Rhino Radio Penitentiary, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. with your host, me, Ryan O'Neill, each and every morning right here with the best in sports and entertainment, all the way from professional sports to college sports to River Dragons hockey and everything in between, including some of the very best local and national guests. It's the Rhino Radio Penitentiary, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. Monday through Fridays, right here on 99.1 FM WQEE.
We live in a world now that welcomes and nurtures the screwball in all of us. Hey, it's a new decade, people. Time to get a little nutty. Treat yourself to Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey, a smooth flavor that combines two of America's favorites, peanut butter and American whiskey. So no more social awkwardness. Time to embrace who you truly are. Get out there and make friends. And be sure it starts with Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey. It's available nearly everywhere. Learn more at screwballwhiskey.com. Infinium Spirits. Please enjoy responsibly.
Thursday, March 23rd, 1 p.m. Eastern, it's Braves versus Mets right here on Braves Country HD. Atlanta Braves spring training is winding down and important roster spots will be decided. Make sure to drop in and catch Braves Country spring training baseball right here on Braves Country HD, wherever you stream. Like and subscribe today. We're bringing you over 100 broadcasts in total in every game throughout the playoffs. That's Braves Mets, Thursday, March 23rd, 1 p.m. Eastern, right here on Braves Country HD.
I don't believe what I'm seeing. Where you been all your lives? At an orgy? Listening to Mick Jagger music and bad-mouthing your country, I'll bet. Use your peripheral vision. Understand?
Yes, sir.
Now, every time I say understand, I want the whole group to say, yes, sir. Understand?
Yes, sir!
Understand!
Yes, sir!
Now, I know why most of you are here. We're not stupid. Before you get to sell what we teach you over at United Airlines, you got to give the Navy 6 years of your life, sweet pea. Lots of things can happen in 6 years. Another war can come up in 6 years.
Welcome back! Bobby and McGee. His tone is usually rushing about that time. We will wait for him to enter before we do the cool games, Bobby. What about a couple of these scores right now that look like ugly football games? Pittsburgh's beating Iowa State 20-2.
Tough hill to climb for Iowa State, and they are they're the higher seed in this matchup, I believe, correct?
Yes.
Yeah.
And I thought Pittsburgh was going to be early out when they played the play-in game the other day.
Mm-hmm.
They're so Jekyll and Hyde, man. I refuse to even bet on Pittsburgh games one way or the other because I don't trust them.
Mm-hmm.
But if they come out on fire, which I evidently they are, I haven't been on a chance to keep an eye on that one because I got the other ones going. But my God, 20-2 halfway. They've scored 2 points halfway through the first quarter, first half. That's absurd.
That's unreal. Well, Vermont's keeping it fairly close with Marquette still. It's still a 9-point game. Marquette just scored a free throw, I imagine.
And the Gales are starting to pull away. And one of the guys I follow, he gave some bad advice on that one. He was pounding the table at VCU. And I was a little skeptical. And I played it safe, and I did St. Mary's on the money line, and I'm glad I did.
Leads 20 points now for Pittsburgh. And I'm 22-2.
Good Lord. Well, least I got a safety. I don't know what.
Hey, NC State has a safety too, and Creighton has a touchdown.
Right, 7-2. That's
7-4 now.
They well, I mean, we're not gonna do that all game long. Marquette, Vermont. I know some people were picking that as an upset. I just think Marquette's a pretty good basketball team, and I would have been surprised to see them fall. It's still a puncher's chance, man. They're down by 7. There's still 16 minutes left.
Yeah, I mean, there's still a window for Vermont to come back, but Marquette's one of the better teams in the country, so I wouldn't bank on it.
I was going to start trying to look for the Pittsburgh-Iowa State game, but what is the point of that?
Yeah.
That was a freaking butt-kicking. The games later on this afternoon, the Iona-UConn game, I've got a betting interest in that. That's about it.
You know, if you look at ESPN, off to the side of the games, they have top performers on the side.
Uh-huh.
And an Iowa State player just made a layup, and he shot up to their top performer. So that tells you how they're doing.
You're absolutely – you're pretty much cooked down 18 when you've only scored 4 points. And – 1/4 of the game is gone.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you just don't have it. These early games are so tricky because I feel like some of these teams, they're just not used to playing early on.
Yeah.
Especially the ones that really make me nervous are the noon tips, because I feel like there's always a major upset. There really wasn't this year, but there's usually a major upset in that 12:15 tip-off, or at least there's a hell of a scare.
Yeah.
And Vermont has closed the gap. They are only down 5. So there you have that. I'm going to try to reach out to Tones here in a second to figure out what's going on. Well, let's go ahead and just start the cool games, because it can't realistically wait all day.
Mm-hmm.
Give you first crack at it. 3 cool games. So give me your first cool game. We'll just go back and forth, and if Tones jumps in during this, then we'll adjust.
Gotcha. My first cool game, we're starting at 7:25 Eastern time. It's 12-seed Drake versus 5-seed Miami. We touched on that a minute ago. Drake only 2.5-point underdogs because Miami's pretty beat up. I expect this to be a close game. Drake's looking to pull off one of the bigger upsets of the tournament so far. We haven't had a ton of upsets yet, so this would be one of the bigger ones.
See, that one just I don't know why, but it doesn't do anything for me. The one that I'm most excited about tonight, 9:20 Eastern. This is my first cool game. 9:20 Eastern, Florida Atlantic versus Memphis.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think that's going to be an incredible game. Memphis, just a 1-point favorite. Game's being played in Columbus, Ohio. So both teams, Memphis obviously is a lot closer. But I would just think, because Florida Atlantic is rarely this good at basketball, there might have been a lot of folks that made the trip and said, you know what, let's go check out Columbus on St. Paddy's Day and let's go get it. I just think that's going to be an incredible atmosphere, and it's a later game. So it's just – that's the game that I'm most excited for tonight.
I like it.
What is your next cool game?
My next one is tomorrow. You have 5-seed Duke versus 4-seed UT Tennessee. It's tomorrow at 2:40 Eastern time. Tennessee, they're without Ziegler, obviously, towards ACL earlier. So that's a tough loss for them. But if they can get anything going offensively, this should be a really entertaining game. You got a college basketball blue blood in Duke versus a Tennessee team that was once one of the best teams in the country. So I think this will be a great game.
Yeah. I would have picked that if you hadn't. You know, the only thing I don't like about it is, what are they doing to us, man? 2:40 Saturday? Mm-hmm. Come on.
Yeah.
Tennessee, put that on Saturday night.
Mm-hmm.
Chance to get some dinner and let's get it. Mm-hmm. 2:40? I mean, it's right in the middle of the day. I think it's going to rain all day here, so I guess it's not the end of the world. But I just, I'm a little disappointed that I thought for sure, because they always put Duke on primetime, I thought for sure that game was going to be maybe not right at 7, but around 6 o'clock or so. So I'm a little disappointed in that. Yeah. So my next cool game, by the way, Tones did reach out to me. He's stuck in traffic. My next cool game, I'm going to go to Saturday night, and I'm a little torn on this, but I'm going to go ahead. I would have went Duke versus Tennessee, but let me get an evening game. Let me get Penn State, Texas. Penn State has been on a heck of a run. I would have saved this for Tones. But as soon as I say, he must have heard me say Penn State, because here he comes popping in. But the Penn State, Texas game, I'm really interested in this one because Shrewsbury is doing something there. If nothing else, he's building a resume to bounce. And what is the deal with why Texas hasn't already announced a long-term extension and take the interim off their head coach? I keep calling him Gus because he reminds me of Gus from Breaking Bad. I mean, they're his doppelganger. But yeah, right. Come on. Get Gus on the bus and let's go.
Coach Froome.
What? I mean, what more does this guy have to do?
Mm-hmm.
What the Adam? Tones, welcome. How are you, sir?
Good, fellas. Happy St. Patrick's Day to all out there. Anybody listening and anybody already celebrating, happy March Madness. What a time to be alive. And Penn State looked pretty good last night, so very happy about that.
They did, man. They smoked them.
Yep.
I wrote them, and I was expecting that to be the game that I was on pins and needles late, and I was like, man, I can actually just like not pay attention to this one. I'm going to focus all my energy on the Norsemen in Northern Kentucky.
And you don't get that often as a Nittany Lion basketball guy. So very excited. Pickett played great. Funk played great. Shrewsbury's coaching, doing a heck of a job coaching right now. So they're clicking at the right time. We'll see how deep they could go. And let's see if they make it two Texas victims in a row.
I didn't even think about that. Okay, so Tones, we're doing the cool games. We've already picked two apiece because we didn't know how long you were going to be. So I did take that Penn State game. If I would have known that you were just about to pop in the chat, I would have left it open for you.
Mm-hmm.
I also took Memphis and FAU. And then Bobby took Duke, Tennessee, and he also took Drake, Miami. Give us a couple of your cool games to get it rolling here.
I think it's starting at this show, actually, 4:30 Eastern. I think UConn-Iona is a cool game. UConn was ranked as high as number one this year.
Iona
was coached by Rick Pitino. Don't be surprised if they hang around in that one. That's going to be a really fun introductory game to the tournament. And whoever wins that game, they'll build a strong background because Iona is probably the best lowest seed team in this tournament being coached by Rick Pitino. You can't overlook what he's done in NCAA and what he's done at that program of Iona. Then looking on, obviously, Penn State or Texas, that's a cool game. Come on. Texas is projected by some to win the tournament. Penn State's one of the hottest teams in the tournament.
First of all, slow down. Did you try to skip past that? Iona is not a cool game. The only cool thing about that is that that's going to be his last game at Iona.
Well, don't we have Drake Miami in here?
Well, I didn't pick that one.
I'm saying though,
you don't love the Drake. Gotta love the Drake. Love the Drake. Who's the Drake?
I do have Drake winning a game, but I think UConn Iona is a more superior matchup than that one.
Drake is good. I told you I hate the Drake. That's the only reason why I let the Drake slip by, because, I mean, how do you not love the Drake? Pitino, I'm calling it right now. Pitino's going to take the St. John's job.
His fingerprints are all over it already. So.
His fingerprints is all over a lot of things. that's not the point. He'll find some good strip clubs there in St. Johnsville. Let's not get into Rick Pitino's fingerprints. Oh, that guy. But I think he's been gone long enough where he thinks people will forget, and he's going to come back to the limelight. I've heard his name circulate a couple of places, but I really think Patino is going to end up in St. John's.
I mean, colleges don't really care about the pedigree of a human being for the most part, sadly. They just care about generating revenue for their programs and universities. We just seen
Chris. Was the NFL or NBA any different? I mean, what are we talking about?
For coaching, yes. For players, no, they're no different. But for coaching, yes, they are. Look at what the Celtics did with their head coach, and he hasn't been hired since. Perfect example, right there.
He will be, though. This is only his first year. He gets a new job next season.
Chris Beard got hired after 2 weeks of being kicked out of college basketball. You know what I'm saying? There's a big difference.
Yeah, but realize something: is that the Celtics head coach is still technically suspended.
By the Celtics, not by the NBA.
I know, I get that, but I'm telling you, he's waiting in the weeds. He's going to pick his team.
Yeah, he could have had a couple opportunities already, and none of the teams went with him. The Nets, he was a front runner.
They waited till after the season because they found out about that whole thing in the middle of the playoffs. They knew he was banging the help. They just said, "Well, hold on, we're on a playoff run here. let's investigate a little." Let's take the investigation into July. No particular reason.
Hey, well, a playoff run, yeah, that's a big difference. And, you know, I'm just saying he hasn't been hired yet. Colleges is a lot different. We've seen a lot of colleges hire the bottom of the barrel type human beings before. It's more rare for the coaching programs in professional sports. They seem to weed those types out. Not players. But coaches, yes, for sure.
I don't want to take the scoreboard down, so I'm not going to share the picture, and I'm not sure the kid's name, but St. Mary's has a bushy-headed kid with like a beard that I swear he looks like a bushy-headed, bearded, younger version of Justin Timberlake. Like every time I see him, I was like, dude, that is Timberlake's, like, well, I don't think it could be. Well, it could be his offspring.
They're nice. They had a nice little day today.
St. was kicking it 20 years ago. He could have been naughty somewhere up in the St. Mary's area.
VCU was one of those popular 12 picks in the tournament. St. Mary's had a nice little game today for their standards. I like him as a 5.
That's what you're taking away from what I just said. Sometimes I wonder if Tones is listening to me. I think he just barrels through because this idiot. I'm just going to talk in sports. he's trying to get me in trouble.
No, you know, I like keeping the talk flowing. You know, it's nice talking
about some. I'm just busting your chops. It looks like St. Mary's did hold on and win that game. Because if not, they're being really mean because they were interviewing the kid and the coach. I'm like, I'm just being cruel, man. So how do you feel? You just got knocked out. You choked at the end. What happened?
Yeah, they held on. They won by 12, actually. So sizable win.
Leading by 6. Hey, Iowa State's making it interesting. Okay. They're only down by 11.
It's just scoring now.
Saw it earlier. It was, what was it, 22-2?
It was 22-2 at its worst point, yeah.
Jeez.
Rough start. But yeah, they're clawing back. They're only down 9 now. They're keeping it close.
You know what typically happens, right? You'll go on this charge, you make it close, and then you just run out of gas because you had to put so much energy, and then you just you'll see them get within 2, and the next thing you know, they're down by 14 again.
And I'm shocked Pittsburgh didn't play yesterday because usually you play every other night in the tournament. They played Tuesday, and they got a break till Friday. So interesting enough, they got one more day break than the norm for the tournament.
I think that had to do with the seeding that they wanted to. I thought it was odd too, but I think it had something to do with the seeding with what. Now, I don't know why they couldn't have moved that around, but I think it had to do with making sure that they played Iowa State because Iowa State was higher seeded.
Mm.
Where's that game at? I can't find it on the. It's not mentioned.
I think it might be in
True TV.
No. Iowa State,
Pittsburgh. I think it might be in North Carolina.
You know these games are played in actual stadiums, right? They're not.
I thought that's what you're asking where to watch it at. That's what I thought you were getting at.
I think it is North Carolina, I think.
Greensboro.
And then Penn State and them are playing in Iowa, so that bracket's between North Carolina and Iowa.
All right. Real quick, the last cool game for Bobby.
All right. I'm going to go to the NBA. I don't want to do all March Madness here, although there is a lot of great games. I'm going to go Mavs-Lakers, though, tonight. It's a late one after the tournament starts to wind down. It's at 10:30 Eastern. It's on NBA TV. I can't
just and not jump on you. You're picking an NBA game in the middle of March Madness.
I know. Listen, hear me out, though. I knew everybody was going to clean sweep on March Madness, but I wanted to fit another game in there. Just hear me out. Hear me out. It's two teams in the play-in right now. They both desperately need wins to try and claw their way out of that. Two teams that were expected to do a lot better this year, Mavs and Lakers. So I'll be tuning into that after the tournament winds down.
Are you sure you'll be tuned into that?
I'll be tuning into it if I don't fall asleep. How about that?
We want to see screenshots of this in the fourth quarter, right, Tones?
I'll take a selfie with my TV with the game on in the background.
We it's like study hours back in the day in college. You got to take a picture of you doing the study hours.
I'm gonna be out tonight. You might be getting a tweet around the time they hit the fourth quarter. A text around the time you get the fourth quarter. Be making sure that you're up and at them. That you're locked to Lakers basketball. All right, so what is your last cool game?
I head to the baseball diamond.
You had NFL preseason tonight. Wait, what?
I head to the Diamond tomorrow, World Baseball Classic, second round, 7 Eastern. You got USA against Venezuela, two of the best teams, if not the best two teams in all of the World Baseball Classic, in my opinion. Venezuela is highlighted by the likes of Anthony Santander, Ronald Acuna, Miguel Cabrera, Jose Altuve, Salvador Perez. The list goes on and on. Everybody knows the star power USA brings already with the likes of Goldschmidt, Arenado, and so much more on that team. So that's really going to be a fun battle. I've really enjoyed the World Baseball Classic. Some people have gruffed about it. I've been enjoying it, and I'm really looking forward to that one tomorrow night. That's 7 o'clock Eastern on Fox, USA and Venezuela.
Yeah, I like that game a lot. And, of course, if you're watching Venezuela, you're watching Ronald Acuña Jr., so that should be a lot of fun. I'm planning on being locked. I will be locked into that one, Bobby. Unlike you saying locked in, you'll be curled up with your teddy bear. So I would have liked to have picked another one, but they don't have it updated. I don't know why they haven't on the World Baseball schedule on what the Sunday game is. Cuba's playing someone, but anyways, I'm going to go back to basketball. Now, if I knew for sure what the matchups were going to be on Sunday, there's a couple of interesting potential matchups, but nothing's in stone yet. So let me go back to college basketball. Let me go back to the tournament, and I'm going to pick another one for tomorrow because I think the slate is incredibly – look, this one's interesting to me. May not be to many, but I like it because I love an underdog because, by God, I'm an American. Princeton against Missouri, 6 o'clock Saturday night. It's going to lead into the WBC. It's going to lead into a lot of this stuff. Man, I would love to see a 15 seed get to the Sweet 16. And that's doable.
Mm-hmm.
Missouri has laid some eggs out there.
That's doable. And even if they move on, right, still kind of cool. Like, obviously, usually the 2 seed gets there. So even if Missouri does end up there, it's pretty cool because either way, I mean, obviously the 15 seed Princeton would be a way bigger, better story. But nonetheless, you'd still have a 7 seed there as well. So I was thinking about picking that one. It was between that or Iona UConn for me.
When you look at some of the other matchups, I mean, Northwestern UCLA is kind of a bore for us down here. Maryland, Alabama could be interesting. Maryland has just been so Jekyll and Hyde. I don't know what team's going to show up.
You know what game's going to be fun? Auburn, Houston, I think.
That's going to be a blowout.
Houston looked really bad yesterday.
I can't wait. I understand that, but.
And their best player's hurt now.
Mm-hmm.
He may play, but I don't think he will. Auburn has been so inconsistent this year that I'm going to be hammering Houston. They're only a 5.5-point favorite right now.
Yeah, again, that's the key thing. What Auburn are we going to get? I could see it going either way. We could get the Auburn that doesn't show and they lay an egg, or we could get the Auburn that shows up and I could see him beating Houston.
I'm shocked that Auburn beat Iowa, to be honest with you. I thought Iowa had the better team, but they were just brick city. for about 20 minutes of that game, and they're not good enough to play bad and win. Iowa has to play a solid game to win, and that was just the outs.
And it was almost a home game for Auburn. I think they were only 110 miles out of where they played. They played in Birmingham, Alabama. So, you know, Iowa not too far from that, but Auburn a lot closer than Iowa is to Birmingham.
I'll give you a bonus one. When you wake up tomorrow morning and you're looking for something good to watch, don't fall asleep on the NIT. Vanderbilt is going to be at home hosting Michigan.
Okay.
That is a fun matchup. It's just hard for me to get into the NIT, although that is a really fun matchup. It's just, you know,
you don't have a bad enough gambling problem then. So
I never said I didn't take the NIT. I just said I have a hard time watching the NIT.
Well, I like getting a hold of the games on the early ones, but once I get in the mix, the only way I get over there is A, if I took the game, or B, if like, because the problem is when you get on the Saturday, Sunday slate, they usually don't stack them on top of each other. So if one game gets out of hand, then it's really easy to just flip over and go see what's going on in the NIT.
And they always sneak on, right? Because they're always on main channels like ABC or ESPN or ESPN2, the NIT. So, that you know, they make their way onto a TV one way or another.
And your UCF boys, they're in Oregon Sunday night.
They smoked Florida.
Yeah, that surprised me. That absolutely surprised me.
Well, sometimes do you think you get a feel of a bigger team that plays a smaller team in that, and they really feel like, I don't really want to be here now. I know, you know.
The Castleton kid, they got hurt for Florida. They haven't been the same since.
Yeah.
Bobby, what is your walk-off for the day, sir, in your lock?
My walk-off, I'll start with that. Enjoy March Madness. Enjoy UFC 286 tomorrow, if that's what you watch. And enjoy whatever's left of NFL free agency. Fun time in sports right now. A lot going on. And my lock, I'm sticking with UFC again. I have Kamaru Usman winning by decision tomorrow against Leon Edwards. You get that at -115 odds. That's my call on that. That's my lock of the week.
Man, that's right up there, USFL preseason. All right. It's March Madness, man. All right, Bobby. I'm going to go out and enjoy yourself. Be a kid. My God. Aren't you 21 now?
Year off. 20.
Oh, well then. But you're in the borough?
Yeah.
All right. Well, then you got to go to the pub and get you a green beer there. $2, and trust me, you'll get served. All right. We're going to be back in a flash. Me and Tones will take you to the top of the hour on St. Paddy's Day and get you caught up. There's a couple of games that have taken a wild swing. We'll be back in a flash here on Braves Country.
Work is work. You don't show up late, you don't make excuses, and you don't not work. If it wasn't work, they wouldn't call it work. They'd call it super wonderful, crazy, fun time. Or skippity-doo.
It all starts with just one thing. Get to know your local beekeeper. You can make sure they don't use chemicals in the hive, that they only sell surplus honey, plus locally produced honeys have a smaller carbon footprint. Find tips and more at onethingus.com. What's your one thing?
The Armchair Quarterbacks are covering America's pastime from spring training all the way to the fall classic.
5-2 Dodgers in the ninth. Got him. They've done it. Like the 1969 Mets. It's the impossible dream revisited.
And Myers bringing it. And the pitch is hit in the air. Foul. Off first. Benzinger backing and calling. And the 1990 World Championship belongs to the Cincinnati Reds.
The Twins are going to win the World Series. The Twins have won it. It's a base hit. It's a 1-0 10-inning victory.
Belt, left field, way back. Blue Jays win it. The Blue Jays are World Series champions as Joe Carter hits a 3-run home run in the 9th inning, and the Blue Jays have repeated as World Series champions. Touch them all, Joe. You'll never hit a bigger home run in your life.
Armchair.
Hey, if you put your effort and concentration into playing to your potential to be the best that you can be, I don't care what the scoreboard says at the end of the game, in my book, we're going to be winners. Okay? All right! Let's go! Let's go!
Welcome back to Braves Country. Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks, weekdays, 3 to 5 p.m., drive time on WQEE. Welcome back. Tones, how's your bracket looking, sir?
It's looking pretty good, actually. I went down on a couple of the coin flip matchups, but what happened?
I said that was a long pause. I'm starting to think your bracket's been trashed like a lot of ours.
No, sorry. I had an audio thing where it took a minute to catch up. My apologies on that. But my bracket's doing okay. I have 7 of 8 Elite Eight teams intact. I have my Final Four intact. So, you know, obviously I had Arizona going a little far. That one stung a little bit. But other than that.
How far did you have Arizona going?
They were my Elite Eight team to get eliminated. I had them go into the Elite Eight.
The Final Four.
And what made me angry is, and I tell people never second guess your March Madness picks, I originally had Missouri beating them, and then I'm like, I don't know about Missouri. And, well, yep, now that would have looked pretty nice right about now.
I'm not happy that I was right about three games that I brought up about being them scares, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because one of them was the Princeton. I talked about it yesterday. I was like, watch out for Princeton, because Princeton – plays that style of basketball that, man, they're just very, very tough to beat. And the thing about Arizona is they're flaky. They're so talented. But I swear this has been Arizona basketball for 30 years. They're incredibly talented. They always are. But I don't know what goes on out there in the desert, but they're never consistent.
Not I feel
Lute Olson.
I feel like them and Virginia are similar in terms of inconsistency lately. They're the type of teams that it wouldn't shock you if they win the whole tournament, and they're the type of teams that wouldn't shock you if they're the type to lose to a 15 or a 13 seed like we've seen yesterday.
Am I wrong, or I should have looked this up, but I was so busy today. I feel like Arizona's lost as a 2 seed before. I believe they have, because I believe they were one of the first. I know Syracuse was the very first team to lose as a 2 versus 15, but I swear it feels like that in the 90s, when it was still a big deal, when a 2 would lose to a 15. I'm going to try to look it up, but I could have swore that they've done this before. If it's not a 2, then they were. Let's see. Of course. How many times?
I know UCLA lost.
Yeah, they have. I was right.
Yeah, they're the first team to ever lose twice to a 15 seed.
I was right. Okay. And I don't listen who beat them, but I remember them losing.
Yeah, I remember I think it was around 93. Oh, I think they lost to 93 to Santa Clara when they had Steve Nash.
Yep, that's what it was, Santa Clara. And they were the second team ever to lose, I believe, as a 2 seed.
Yeah, and I remember they had Steve Nash, Santa Clara did, and that brought him on the scene. Now I remember they were talking about that yesterday. I believe it was 93. But, yeah, crazy. I mean, and then Princeton as a 15 seed before has won as well. They beat UCLA. I forget what year that was, but, man. Between Princeton and Arizona having history there. And then you tie in Virginia. Virginia, a couple years back, was the first 1 seed to ever lose to a 16 seed. Then a couple years later, they win the tournament. And then this year, they lose to a 13 seed. Virginia can't make up their mind if they want to be viewed as an elite or if they're viewed as one of the biggest chokers consistently.
Well, I find it interesting. All of a sudden, Pittsburgh's only up by 5, and they're heading towards the half. They were by 20 with 10 minutes left in the first half.
And as you said, those type of teams usually run out of steam, but lucky for Iowa State, they got halftime around the corner that could, you know, actually play a big difference in that.
Yeah, absolutely. That was my first thing I was thinking was if Iowa State can just not do anything stupid in the next 30 seconds, it looks like they have. They've got a chance to make it really, really interesting.
And man, that Pittsburgh game on Tuesday was wild. Beating Mississippi State, Mississippi State had a couple chances at the end. Shout out to Pittsburgh for prevailing. But it's hard when you play in the first four, then you got to turn around and play here. I'm shocked Pittsburgh got out to that great of a start.
Man, someone just got seriously injured. But for Creighton, they're walking them off. If I was to guess, I'd say it's an ankle injury. But there's two guys helping them off.
Hate to see that.
What about that goofy injury to Edwin Diaz?
Oh, celebrating, you know?
Barely celebrating. That's the thing, is that people who didn't see it may think that he was, like, acting a fool. He wasn't.
Man. No, he wasn't.
He was doing a bunny hop, if that. And it was on flat ground. He wasn't even on the mound. It was on flat ground. And his knee just gave. Which tells me, I know all these Mets fans are flipping out for no reason. But what tells me is it was going to happen. That his knee was compromised, right? Something, it was just one of these things where it was the final straw, right?
And that's why I get aggravated when people are trying to blame the World Baseball Classic. Think about what you want about the World Baseball Classic, but he could have been at spring training. He could have been at home doing yard work and this type of thing happens. Like you said, it was on the verge of happening if it happened in such a matter.
He could have been hopping over the newspaper at his front door. I know they don't make newspapers anymore, but you get my drift. I mean, he did not, no one fell on him, because that's what I thought would have happened. I was watching it live and I had to rewind it because there were so many people around because of the celebration and then the injury. And I went to rewind it. I was like, man, did someone fall on him or something? Like, what happened? No, bunny hopping.
And you hate to see that. One of the better closers in the game. And now
they'll be with Braves fans hate to see it, but I still don't like to see anybody injured. I mean, that's not how I want to beat you. I don't want to beat you because all year long, we're going to have to hear that excuse.
Yeah, that's the thing about the injuries. It's not, I mean, obviously you'd like to play lesser competition to move on, but then you always hear about the excuse, right? Oh, they played this team without this person. So it's like, give me your best at that point. I don't need to hear the excuses. We'll beat you at your best. And then no excuses needed.
And the Mets already metting before we ever get to opening day.
I mean, isn't it's wash and repeat at this point, dang near.
They're gonna, if anyone's gonna sign Zach Britton, I mean, come on, what's going on here? But I feel like they're gonna try to, my guess would be David Robertson, be their closer, and that Ottavino would stay the setup because they've tried Ottavino in the past at closing positions, not just with the Mets, but with the Yankees. And he doesn't tend to really do it. He tends to, you just have to have that closer DNA. There's something about it. And if people thought that Diaz was going to fall off a lot, I mean, look, I don't think anyone expected him to be exactly like he was last year. Last year, it was just absurd. But he did strike out the side to send Puerto Rico to the next round. The Dominican. He struck out the Dominican Republic side. That team was loaded. I still cannot believe that they didn't make it.
I felt like your World Baseball Classic rosters were one of two ways this year. They were either loaded with talent or, you know, barely anyone recognizable. As you said, Dominican, one of the teams more loaded with talent. And very surprising they didn't move on, but they did come from a tough pool of play.
They were the odds-on favorite to win. It was them in Japan, 1-2.
Didn't you know what hurt them a lot? Vlad Guerrero not participating as well.
Oh, man, but that's a weak excuse. That team was loaded.
I know. I hate to sound like that guy. Don't get me wrong. It was loaded. You're right. I'm not going to be that guy. But it was unfortunate for baseball fans, let me put it like that, that he wasn't a part of it.
Well, he should be playing for the U.S. anyways, man. What are we talking about? His dad's been in the States for 30 years. Vlad Jr. is an American, by God.
Yeah, you're not wrong, but I feel like
I know why he did. Same reason why Freddie played for Canada, because his mom was originally from Canada.
And I think Lars Nootbaar did the
same. What I'd say to that, don't you? That's just Freddie Freeman being a traitor once again. You can't trust Freddie Freeman. He'll go play for Canada. He'll go play for the Dodgers. The heck's going on around here?
Yeah, you're right. You're right, though. I can't believe Dominican Republic lost. I mean, their roster truly flawless.
Are you looking at it right now?
Yeah, and I'm just remembering watching some of the games now, and I'm thinking to myself, is this an all-star team or is this a Dominican Republic?
Loaded.
You know, from vets to young guys.
Yeah, this isn't like football or basketball where you realistically need to play for several weeks to get a rhythm together, right? You should be able to play baseball. I know there's still chemistry, team chemistry, but we're talking about a small tournament. There's no excuse for them not making it.
Mm-mm. None at all.
But I will say this. They need to redo all of the – when they do these pools, I mean, what the hell are all those teams – was that pool B that they were in?
Correct.
Okay. It was Puerto Rico, Dominican Republic, Venezuela. Oh, who was the fourth team? Anyways, it was.
Oh, that was pool. I'm sorry, that was pool D because pool B was the China pool. Now I remember.
Okay, was pool A Japan?
Pool A was Cuba and Italy and Netherlands.
Cuba. What was the fourth team in there? Because I actually watched Cuba play someone.
It was Cuba, China? Italy, Netherlands, Chinese Taipei, and Panama.
Yeah, okay. Chinese Taipei, that's what I was thinking. Because I actually took that, you talk about getting a little out of control last Saturday night. I took Cuba on the money line because I was up late and I knew I was staying up later watching basketball and I saw the game about to come on. I'm like, Cuba? Underdogs? What? The Chinese Taipei? Nah, give me Cuba. And Cuba came out and just throttled them. It was home run after home run. I was like, yeah, get it. Come on, get it.
They got a pretty nice roster as well. Honestly, I was surprised with how good of a roster Netherlands appeared to have. Not that they made it, but with Cuba. No,
they have Curaçao tied in with the Netherlands. So that's one of the reasons.
True.
And Curaçao has a lot of they got a lot of players that didn't go, like Ozzie Albies, for instance.
Right.
But that's the home of Andrew Jones.
So, yeah, wasn't he helping manage there?
What's funny? This is funny. So I work with a kid from Puerto Rico, right? And he's been here for a little while, but I wouldn't say a long time, right? My guess would be in the last 10 years. He's a young kid. He's early 20s, right? And we were talking about the Classic, and he's been watching with his parents. His parents are really into the World Baseball Classic. And then the conversation shifted to it being St. Patrick's Day. And someone asked me in the middle of the conversation, well, what do the Irish, what sports do they watch? Like actually in Ireland, right? I said, well, it's typically soccer. They play a lot of rugby. There's a couple other off. I said, but as far as like what you would consider worldly popular sports, my answer would be soccer and rugby. And this kid who's from Puerto Rico, his parents are from Puerto Rico, and we're always told that soccer is God everywhere else, right?
Mm-hmm.
He goes, soccer? Ugh. And just kind of rolled his eyes. And then he went right back talking about the World Baseball Classic. I'm like, that's what I'm talking about right there, baby. That's what a lot of these fools don't understand when they sit there and try to why they don't get why this World Baseball Classic is so big. Because in a lot of these countries here in the Western Hemisphere, in the Spanish-speaking countries, and I know that Puerto Rico is technically a territory, but still, baseball's king there.
Mm-hmm.
And like someone tried to shift the conversation we were having to what the NFL was going on with the NFL free agency. That kid wanted no part of that. He kept going back to, he goes, so, because he just started asking me random players he's been seeing in the World Baseball Classic, what teams do they play for, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, hey, man, by the way, I didn't realize that one of our guys was on Puerto Rico team, because when we first started talking about it about a week ago, I knew Eddie Rosario was playing. I just didn't know where he was playing for. I was like, Eddie Rosario. He goes, oh, I love Eddie Rosario. Who he plays for? Who? I said, the Braves. He goes, oh, I might have to start watching. So I told him, I'm bringing him a Braves hat. I was like, man, if we can add one more to Braves country, let's go.
Why wouldn't you, right? If you could add more fans to your fan base, I think it's a no-brainer. Let's go. Let's ride. Hey, another Braves fan and a youthful
one. I didn't want to tell him that Acuna plays for the Braves because he had kind of a run-in with Puerto Rico when they played with one of his celebrations. So I was keeping mums the word on that one.
Yeah, you know, just say, yeah, you know, that's Acuna Sr., not Acuna Jr.
Yeah, I don't know who he plays for, but Rosario, he's a Brave. Let's go.
Sign him up quick. Hey, I got a little bit of a nothing breaking here, but a developing story. You talked about it earlier. You actually mentioned it earlier. Now, John Rothstein of CBS is saying Penn State is prepared to make a significant long-term financial commitment to Micah Shrewsbury as soon as the season concludes, as Shrewsbury has been linked to other high-profile jobs.
I bet he has. The thing is that when I heard someone mentioned it on one of these basketball shows the other night about Shrewsbury leaving, and my first question was, and I tried to scratch my head, well, where would he leave to go to?
Mm-hmm.
Because there's not like a big time that I can think of off the top of my head, like a premier basketball school that's looking for a coach right now.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Yeah. There's not like a huge jump, right? I could see if there was a big time program that's open, but you're talking about lateral basketball moves to me at this point, like a Notre Dame. That's not a big step up really, in my opinion. Even some of these other schools, of St. John's, you're not getting up in the world. That's
kind of fighting the areola. Barbecues.
Hey, and don't get me wrong, nothing wrong with Notre Dame hoops, but let's be real, it's not like they're a juggernaut in football. You do that makes a little sense, okay, but in basketball that'd be a little bit of head scratch. And I would love this move if Penn State could lock him up to a long-term contract. To me, he's
if he leaves Penn State, and though I would say Notre Dame would be a tad of a step up, but it's not. I think if you leave Penn State, you leave to go to, I don't know if it's got to be a blue blood, but it's got to be a basketball school, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
So it's got to be. So it's not like even some of these Big 12 schools have just started really focusing on basketball, even the ones that aren't blue bloods. I could see it. Maybe a Syracuse because of what they used to be, but they've kind of taken a step back. Now, that's the one that I didn't think about was Boeheim leaving Syracuse. But if I'm Shrewsbury and I'm leaving Penn State to go to Syracuse, I've got to see a commitment. I've got to see a major commitment to say, hey, if I'm coming there, what are we doing? Because I'm not just coming there just because you're playing in the ACC, because that doesn't hold as much panache anymore, especially when there's such a – the big rumor of a mass exodus out of the ACC.
And I'm pretty sure Syracuse did. They took a page out of Duke's old book. And as soon as Boeheim retired, I think they hired their longtime bench coach who used to play for them. Drawing a blank on his name right now. Let me look it up here, but Autry.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. You're right. You're right.
I think his name's Autry, something along those lines.
Right, you're right. I forgot about that little blurb. They are hiring within. So take Syracuse out, and that's probably the best job that's out there. I mean, I guess you could make an argument for St. John's, but I think St. John's is going after Patino.
Yeah, I think you could argue St. John's as well, but as you said, I think, well, I'm not going to mention fingerprints this time, but I think there's something there with Rick Pitino and them perhaps.
It's just Patino's a Northeast guy. I know he's known for coaching Kentucky, but he's a Northeast guy, and St. John's makes a ton of sense.
Yeah, and I've heard some Southern Florida fans clamoring for a guy like Patino. I highly doubt he goes to Southern Florida.
South Florida?
Yeah.
No, man, that's a step down.
Yeah, I don't think he's going there.
You don't go to USF leaving Penn State in the Big Ten to go. I don't even remember. Where is South Florida?
No, I'm talking Patino, not Shrewsbury. Patino, but I still don't think.
No. He's St. John's or or he's a Big 12 school that doesn't give a crap about his fingerprints, right?
Correct.
No. Now, the only thing that there is a wild card. What if, even if they sign these coaches' extensions, we all know they're not worth the paper they're written on. But what if in a few weeks we're going to be at the end of the NBA season, regular season. What if an NBA team comes after Coach A, Coach B, Coach C, fill in the blank, and then Shrewsbury goes and takes that job? That's the one wild card.
Yeah, now that could happen, and that's why, I know a lot could still happen in between, even after signing a contract, but that's why I just want Penn State to get with him and get to it, sign a contract, keep him around for a while. You're finally on the up and up. You haven't made the tournament since 2011, haven't had a tournament win since 2001. They should have made it the COVID year, but COVID happened. This is the first year it feels like Penn State basketball is for real again, and Shrewsbury is a huge part of that. It'd be a big mistake letting him walk.
Look, it wouldn't shock me. I just don't know where his heart is as far as does he ever want to coach in the NBA. He may not want to, and if he doesn't, then he's home. But a guy like John Shire, who's 35 years old, who has done just unbelievable job his first year at Duke, if anyone was going to back up the NBA truck to bring him in, it would almost remind me of what the Boston Celtics did to Butler, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, granted, Duke's on a much different level and a much different plane than Butler, but you know what I'm getting at. You get a young coach to say, hey, man, here's your bag. So he could at least hold Duke for ransom because, dude, he's 35 years old. And he's got the charisma. He is a Duke guy, played basketball for Duke, right?
Mm-hmm.
I could see someone making a hard push at him. I don't have a team in mind, per se. And I don't think he would only leave for, I know it's not a term, but a technical blue blood in the NBA. Either a team that has a long history of winning or like a Lakers type thing. Or a team that is just loaded, right?
Yeah.
But, man, that's a guy there that I could definitely see being poached, and then that causes a domino effect. Because then, if Duke gets clipped, Duke's got a lot of ex-alumni that's out there coaching, doing very, very good jobs, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to go clip somebody. And then next thing you know, Shrewsbury's on 7 flights in 6 days talking to 5 different teams.
Wouldn't it surprise me. I mean, I could easily see a guy getting hired to the NBA, and the next thing you know, a guy like Shrewsbury would be the perfect fit for the next college you just lost.
Or W is more problem, my friend.
You're not lying, brother.
I mean, if he wasn't so old, I would have been worried about Leonard Hamilton leaving Florida State a few years ago. But I was like, dude, he's in his 70s. He doesn't want to. He's fine, right? He's like, nah, I'm good, man. I got my house here. I have zero concern about getting fired. Look how bad his team was this year. No one's firing him, right?
Yeah, he's to the point in college basketball coaching where he's a legend and he's comfortable there. Once you eclipse a long 15-year mark, you know, you really got to pull a Rick Pitino to get fired or something.
And I know Shire hasn't done the same thing, but what about the cat? His name's escaping me right now, but the cat that won the 2 national titles at Florida and then he got poached by the NBA?
Billy Donovan.
Yeah, Donovan. Like, that's what a Shire reminds me of. He's a little younger version of Donovan. And I know he doesn't have the resume that Donovan had, but I'm saying that he's got that it factor that the NBA wants because they know that you become the face of your franchise. So I don't have anyone in mind, but what if there's a falling out with the New York Knicks
mm-hmm.
and their head coach, who tends to wear out his welcome everywhere he goes? And they got a roster.
At the same token, too, we gotta think of it. Sometimes you're better off staying in college, right? It's like, remember good old John Beilein, head coach of Michigan, West Virginia, Richmond, made the jump to the Cavaliers, struggled mightily, got himself in trouble, and now he might never coach again. So, you know, be careful what you wish for. Everybody wants to jump to the NFL or NBA, but sometimes these college guys are better off where they started at.
We are coming up on the top of the hour, so we're going to have to jam out of here. It's been a good, fun, long afternoon here on WQEE. Make sure to stick around. They've got tonight, River Dragon Hockey, 7 o'clock is the pregame show, and you've got 7:30 is when the puck is going to drop, and let me make sure that I've got it right. It's the 7 o'clock is the Air Force Heating and Air pregame show. 7:30 is going to be Dragons versus Seawolves. So make sure to keep it locked in here. What is your lock and what is your walk off, sir?
Yeah. So I hope my walk off is this: keep enjoying March Madness, keep enjoying the World Baseball Classic, throw some money on it. You might as well get a little fancy, get fancy with it. Have fun. If you got a couple
dollars, like we are sometimes.
Exactly. You know, you could either win a new house or you could need to sell your house because you lose so much. But either way, have fun with it. Do it responsibly. I mean, you
can't make it out, but this entire thing is front and back of my place today.
I love it. I love it. And real quick, my lock of the day is going to be I'm actually going to the ice because March Madness is tricky. Anaheim Ducks at home against the Blue Jackets. It's a 10 o'clock Eastern tip-off. I've been doing good on the ice for the armchair quarterback locks, so I'm or for the Braves country locks as an armchair quarterback, so I'm sticking with the ice. I'm picking the Anaheim Ducks home against Columbus. Columbus is on a back-to-back. That puck drops at 10 o'clock Eastern tonight.
My lock of the day, I'm going to take a fairly, well, I think it's a safe one. Give me Gonzaga minus 50.
Dude, I was literally going to take that.
They're playing Grand Canyon tonight, and though it's in Colorado, so Grand Canyon's in a little bit of home court event, I just think Gonzaga is going to roll. I don't worry about them as much in the early rounds as I do some. I mean, at this point, we might as well call them franchises, some college franchises. There's a couple other that I like, but that's the one that I'll give you as a lock. If you want a lock for the weekend, Duke over the Vols. Right now, it's minus 3.5. The money line's minus 165. I would just kind of monitor it. I hope to try to get it a little lower, but honestly, it's probably going to go up. It's probably, so if you like Duke, you probably need to grab them now.
Literally, Gonzaga was the only lock I had written down. I changed my mind last minute, so I love where your head's at, brother.
Well, terrible minds think alike. So there you go. That's my walk-off. All right, keep it locked in here on the key. We got Dragons hockey tonight, River Dragons hockey tonight. Keep it all the way here, all the way to the 7:30 when the puck drops. We'll see you Monday. Y'all have a great weekend. And Tone's great job as always. Good seeing you. We'll see you Monday for all the reactions.
Have a good one, bro.
Goodbye, sweetheart. Well, it's time to go. We're back tomorrow with another show.
Well, unless we're fired, we'll talk to you then. Goodbye, sweetheart. Goodbye.
Guys and gals, it's time to go. We'll see you on the next show.
Same bat time, same bat channel.
Thanks for listening to Braves Country with Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks on 99.1 FM WQEE The Key in Noonan, Georgia, and simulcasting on youtube.com/@Braves Country. Braves Country comes your way weekdays 3 p.m. Eastern to 5 p.m. Eastern. Please follow, like, and subscribe today. Armchair Quarterback Radio, your first choice for Southern sports.
Something of the 5th of September. Something of the 5th of September. She said a lot that I can't remember. Something of the 5th. Can I get another cigarette, please? Can I get another cigarette, please? Yeah, I know I live to regret it. Just give me another cigarette, please. Hey!
You're listening to WQEE 99.1 FM, The Key in Noonan, Georgia. Thursday, March 23rd, 1 p.m. Eastern, it's Braves versus Mets right here on Braves Country HD. Atlanta Braves spring training is winding down and important roster spots will be decided. Make sure to drop in and catch Braves Country spring training baseball right here on Braves Country HD, wherever you stream. Like and subscribe today. We're bringing you over 100 broadcasts in total in every game throughout the playoffs. That's Braves Mets, Thursday, March 23rd, 1 p.m. Eastern, right here on Braves Country HD.